Praise the Lord and welcome to the house of God. Today we are going to start a new chapter. We are studying the book of Acts. We finished last week chapter 3. And today, God willing, we will read first 12 verses. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12.
And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Seems to be very easy chapter. We learned last week Peter was still speaking to these people and telling them, Moses said God will send a prophet just like me and you will listen to him. And if anyone doesn't listen to him, God will destroy them. And this was like an itching ears to those people who are listening. And they got so angry because they are talking about Jesus Christ and they are seeing the man is healed. Now here we see today, let's read verse 1.
And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them.
Now see, when we're seeing these people are still talking. And you know what time they start talking? They came to this temple afternoon, like 3 o'clock or so. And now it's evening. I don't know, evening is 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, but it's now evening time. They are standing there and witnessing to these people, and so many people are listening to this witness. I don't know how many people, but according to this, has to have at least more than 5,000 people around listening. Maybe inside the temple or outside the temple, but now thousands of people are listening, and these Sadducees and Pharisees and captain of the temple, and all of these people got angry, and what? They came upon them. When you say came upon them, not to just hug them, but to harass them. Let's read the words too.
Being grieved that they taught the people and preached for Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
Okay, now you say, being grieved. When you say grieved, only people grieve when somebody's dead. Or so much problem came, then the people can be grieving or sad. What is the reason for these people for grieving? Two reasons. One reason is this: the man who was lame from the mother's womb, sitting at the temple. I told you, I do not know how many years he was sitting at the temple gate. But this man has to be more than 40 years old. We don't know how many years he was sitting, but this man is not a young baby. He's a young man. He can talk, he can witness, and people are seeing this man for year after year after year after year after year. So what I'm trying to say, they recognize this man. They knew this is the man who was lame from the mother's womb. So they have nothing to say that miracle did not happen. And the disciples are saying this miracle happened not because of us, not because of our righteousness, not because of our holiness or our strength or our power. And they are trying to say this miracle happened because of Jesus. And why Jesus? They say, Jesus of Nazareth, you crucified, that Jesus is risen. And we are the witnesses. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. And this thing bothered them a lot. They did not want to hear about Jesus. Let's read verse 3.
And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide.
See, now you're saying they laid their hands on them. Laid hands means not like blessing. Laid hand means beating them and harassing them. And not only that, put them in a hole, that means put them in somewhere in a jail. Holding them in chain, they didn't say chain, but in those days they used to have like a wooden board, and they will make circles in the wooden board and split the wooden board and put their legs in it and then fasten it. So what happened? You cannot walk, you cannot run. So I don't know what they did, but they put them in a hole for one day. And this is why this was evening time. Because you can see from 3 o'clock to maybe 9 o'clock, I don't know what the evening, in here we say sometime evening, even the 8 o'clock evening. But I'm just guessing. It's a dark time now, sunset time. And these people are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they get hold of them. And who are these people? Let's read. Let's read from verse 4, 5, and 6.
Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem.
Now see how many people are there. More than 5,000 people are listening from this. And the word of God says even though they were harassed, they were giving them hard time, but many people believed. And the number became like a 5,000 men. When you say 5,000 men, I mean those days they will only count men and they will not count the ladies. So just think, if every man was married, they double the population. And if some of them not, just count approximately maybe 7,000 or more people God saved and believed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But who are the people here against? All the captains and all the priests, all the rulers and all the scribes and all the high priest and his relatives, all gathered together. Those are all higher authority people. And they kept these people in their midst and they surrounded them and tried to scare them that we have the power, we can do anything to you. And they wanted to scare these people to stop this kind of ministry. One day something like that happened to me. I had a rented a place, a big stadium, open stadium, and the man told me, you don't have to pay me anything, I'll give you free. I said, praise God. I said, can you write it down on the piece of paper that you will not change your mind? He said, I keep my word, and so I will not change my mind. So I didn't have any written paper with me. So we had the meeting, and the first day, the ground was full, and there are police cars came, so many, and people got healed. And so many miracles happened. So the man who gave me the ground, he comes to me, 11 o'clock or 11:30 night, and says, sir, you stop these meetings. I said, why? Because this ground is a Hindu ground, and this ground is a public ground, and now the people wants to kill you, so you better stop. And now what did he do? Just like these people did, he invited me to his house, and there are all the government officers and all the big people surrounding me. And I was sitting there, and he's asking me to stop. And now I could just simply say, okay, because all of these people are higher authorities, so I should say, okay, if you people say so, I will do it. I said, sir, I ask you first, give me everything in writing. You didn't give. You said my word is like a gold. I don't change my word. And now I did advertisement in the newspaper. I did all the flyers, I put all the bigger billboards, I put advertise on the radio, and I went to big highways and put all the signs on the highways with the charcoal or paint. And I said, people are coming from out of towns and different states. And if I change this now and go to another place, I do not have time to advertise. So I said, let me ask you a question. Just like Peter here, filled with the Holy Spirit, and God gave him wisdom. The same way I was alone. No official board, no pastors, no minister, no church members. I was only one Christian person sitting among all these Hindu people. And they are all higher officers, government officers. So I just prayed in my spirit, and I asked him first question. I said, sir, are you against Christianity? Do you think that I should stop the meeting? That's your idea, or public is saying? He said, no, I don't care. If you want to keep it, you can keep it. I asked the same question to everyone. Everyone say, we are not against. You can have it. How did it happen? God put the word in their mouth. They are all against. But now they are saying, we are all agree, you can have it. The only problem is, those people will kill you. I said, sir, I'm already dead. I'm dead in Christ. I'm living a life of Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid of dying. Because I am ready to meet the Lord. Then they say, okay, that's you. You do your own now. I call the church members and ask their opinion, what we should do now. And I was new in that town. They said, Pastor Peter, you don't know these people. These people will do some harm to you. Please stop the service. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to the Lord. And tomorrow morning, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I rented all big tents. I rented all the electric lights and speaker, the big horns on the top of the building, projecting all four corners like a 10 to 12 miles in radius. And so I said to the Lord, I went to prayer and I said, Lord, what should I do? First thing God spoke to me. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the fiery furnace. What happened to them? I said, you quenched the fire. Then he said, when Daniel was in lion's den, what happened to him? I said, you shut the mouth of lion. He says, the same God is here.
Amen. Amen.
I said, Lord, I'm sorry asking you question.
That's right.
Now the people said no, my church says no, everybody says no, but as you give me grace, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
That time I was deciding, morning until evening I will fast. After the service, 11:30, I might eat. And I will fast 10 days. That's what my plan was. But now I changed the plan. I said, Lord, I'm not going to eat until the service is over. God did a miracle. 10 days we had a great revival in the city. 11th day, early in the morning, 10th day, I told all the people, I bought the materials, I paid them in advance, and I said, 11th day, I'm not responsible. After 10th day, evening, night, after the service is over, everybody went home. Pouring rain like a hurricane came. Everything flat on the floor. And the morning, the man comes to me. He says, I want to apologize. We disturb you, but you did a great job for our city. And see how God protected you for 10 days. So God is with you. What I'm trying to say, similar situation. Now Peter and John, the only two people standing in the midst, and all these Sadducees and officers and all of these people are surrounding them and putting them in the middle and asking the question. Let's go to the verse 7.
And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?
Now, simple thing, they asked the question. They heard this question time and time again. First time when they enter into the temple, they said, not by our name or our power or our strength, this man was healed. What did they say? In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ,
That's right.
this man is healed.
Amen.
But these people want to ask again. They wanted to say they changed their subject. But they asked the question, simple, same question to Jesus once. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Start reading from verse 23 to 27.
And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I am likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things.
Amen. Amen. Now see, simple question they asked to Jesus Christ. So Jesus used the very simple tactic. He says, tell me that John's baptism is from heaven or from earth. They could not answer. Even though they knew the answer, they didn't want to give the answer. But Jesus Christ's disciples, if they were standing around, when they asked the question, they knew. When Jesus sent them two by two, what did they do? They used the name of Jesus to get people healed. And one person was healing people in the name of Jesus. And John comes and says, we saw one man healing people in your name. He's not in our group. Can we stop that man? What Jesus says? If he's not against us, he's with us. From that we know Jesus Christ gave these people power and his name to use it to get people healed. But here when they ask the question, Jesus did not elaborate anything. He just said, if you don't know, then I'm not going to tell you. If you don't tell me the answer, I don't tell you either. You'll see in the same chapter, Jesus Christ tell them some other things. But let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 8.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.
Amen. What he is trying to say, he did not give a simple answer. He just said he filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Holy Spirit gave him utterance, power, wisdom to say these things. If you are afraid and you don't know what to do, what do? Go to God.
Amen.
Sit there and pray in tongue. I guarantee you, God will give you
Amen.
Wisdom to say the right thing. And now he is saying, now you people, you yourself, tell me. You already seen these things. A good thing happened. This man who was not able to stand on his feet, begging, now he is healed in front of your own eyes. And he says, verse 10, be it known unto you all, to whom he is talking, all of those officers, all of these Sadducees and all of those priests and high priest family, they are standing there. He says, be it known unto you all. And then what he's saying? And to all the people of Israel. He said, not only to you I'm talking. There are hundreds and thousands of people listening to this, my preaching right now. So I'm not talking to you only, but I'm talking to all the children of Israel. What does it mean? Go and tell what you heard. You heard me saying this man is healed by the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want you to know, and I want all children of Israel to know. And so what happened? This man got healed, but you did something to the healer. Let's read that verse, 10 verse, one more time.
Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, now if you do not know how this man got healed, Jesus of Nazareth made this man whole. When you say whole, that means nothing is lacking in this man's health. Perfect health, this man is standing before you. And do you know this man did not run away from the temple? He was side by side with Peter and John for this many hours. He didn't say, hey, I didn't beg whole day. Where am I going to get my food? Let me go and beg. Now nobody's going to give him anything. But this man stood there listening to the word of God, didn't care where his next bread is coming. If you spend your time with Jesus Christ, you invest your time in Jesus Christ, you will not be wasting your time. Going to church is not a waste of time. Going to church is a blessed time. God can bless you. And whatever you are lacking, financially, physically, socially, emotionally, in every way, he will give it to you. Jesus is the answer. People said, oh, I'm going to do overtime Sunday. If you do overtime Sunday, that day you will have maybe $1,000 sitting extra in your account. But within a short time, you will be spending $10,000 from your account. And why this happened? Didn't happen the same day. Sometime it might happen same day. But sometimes it takes a longer time. With your power, you cannot do anything. If you are a born-again child of God, you need a power of God to do everything.
Amen.
Even the work you're doing, 8 hours, and making $8,000 a week, that is not your money. That is a God-given money. If you don't have a brain, if you don't have a strength, you cannot work. You need God's grace to do this. So you should be thankful to God that God has given money and strength and wealth. Somebody says, I did not give my tithe for 10 years and I'm still blessed. Let me tell you, you are not blessed. You don't know what the blessing is. If you start giving to God, then you will be blessed. And you will have more than enough. You cannot outgive to the Lord. What you give, you are sowing in the kingdom of God, and you get harvest in return. Let's read the verse 11.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner.
Okay, now this verse they heard before. Where did they hear it? Go to Matthew chapter 21 again and start reading from verse 42 to 46.
Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet.
Now see this. When Jesus Christ was talking to these people, he said, you did not understand who I am. These people understood what he was trying to say. He says, the stone you rejected, the stone became a cornerstone. They didn't know what he was talking about, but they understood when he says, this kingdom or this will be taken from you and given to the other nations. Do you know God already called the children of Israel my people? And he delivered them from the Egypt. But when they didn't listen to God, now the same word is used for us. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, if you read. Peter says, now we have chosen generation. Now we are peculiar people. God has chosen us. So Jesus Christ, what he said, it happened to us. Their blessing, they lost. They didn't know who the cornerstone was. They didn't know who the builder was. They didn't know who the foundation was. Now Peter reminded these people the same thing. Let's go back to the Acts chapter 4, verse 11.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner.
Now see, they wanted to say, this is written. This is a prophecy. Go to the book of Psalm 118 and verse 22 and 23.
The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Amen. Now this was the prophecy. They heard it. They read it. They didn't know what this prophecy is all about. When Jesus took that scriptures and started telling them, they knew, oh, he's talking about us. But they didn't understand he's talking about himself too. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
Amen. So now here is saying Isaiah, there is a cornerstone, there is a foundation stone. If you listen to that, you will not be ashamed. means you will get saved. Now, when Jesus Christ is saying, this stone you rejected, you didn't understand what the stone is all about. And the disciples standing there, and they might be listening when Jesus Christ was saying. But when Jesus Christ was risen, and when the Peter filled with the Holy Spirit, and start filling with the Holy Spirit, and telling and talking to these people, these same scriptures reminded Peter. And now Peter is saying the same thing. You didn't understand what you were doing. You rejected Jesus Christ. He was the cornerstone. He is the foundation for the Christianity and for the, you know, going to heaven. He is the only one can build the temple of God. And now disciples came to know we are the temple of God. And we know who the cornerstone was. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 11. Now this is Paul talking.
For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. And he says, I am building upon that rock with Jesus Christ. And if somebody builds any other way or any other foundation, that foundation will not stand. So he is trying to say, I am the wise master builder. I am the building churches. I am the building foundation for the work of God. And so he said, if anyone builds any other foundation, that is not from the Lord. And Jesus Christ said, listen, this stone you reject, and if somebody falls in this stone, they will be crushed. But if this stone falls on you, you will be become powder. So he didn't understand who this stone was and who this rock was. St. Paul says this rock was what? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Amen. Now Paul is making so clear here. He said, I'm a wise builder. He said it in the Corinthians. Now Ephesians, he said, now we are building upon that foundation, Jesus Christ. And apostles and prophets also are foundation. If some church is not preaching the full gospel means preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is established by Paul, Peter, John, these apostles. If nobody's preaching their gospel or their teaching, their doctrine, their church is wrong. We have to be founded on the word of God. And then it says we are founded like a body of Christ is a building of God. We are the church of God. We are the building of God. God wants to live in us. And when Jesus Christ is called the cornerstone and the foundation stone, do you know if you are building a building and if you don't have a foundation, your building will collapse. Not only that, if you do not have a cornerstone, your building will not have shape. You can keep on building straight line. If you want to make a building, you have to have a cornerstone to bring it other way around. So Jesus Christ is the cornerstone and a foundation stone.
Amen.
Without Jesus, there is no spiritual building.
Amen.
Without Jesus, there is no house for God to live. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. That's what he's trying to say. Let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 2. verses 4 to 10.
To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Amen. Now see, Peter is making so clear. He's saying those people discarded this cornerstone. They didn't know what the stone was. But now we know we are a live stone because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is risen. He's not a dead God. So when Jesus Christ is alive, he gives us a life. And then we can, a live stone, join with another live stone, and another believer, and that makes the church. Without Jesus Christ, there is no church. Without born-again, spirit-filled believers, there is no church.
Amen.
People, all the denomination, they are saying, we are a church. Do you know what the church means? Church means the body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ has to be holy,
yes,
blameless, without spots, without wrinkle. That's called body of Christ.
Amen.
If you call a body of Christ and are living in sin, you are not a church. Church should be born again and spirit filled. That's why it's a lively stone attached to one another and makes the habitation for God. So now we are so much special. Without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Without Jesus Christ, as I said, there is no church.
Amen.
There are some churches and Jesus is not in the church. It's outside the church.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door. Right. Can you open?
That's right.
Many churches, they left Jesus Christ out. Go to their church, they don't talk about Jesus. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about salvation. They don't talk about miracles. They don't talk about healings. Their service is like a 15 minutes. And they read some story or bring some movie star and have some couple of songs and service is over. Now let's go back to the Acts chapter 4 and read verse 11 and 12 together. Now it will make sense.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen. So what is trying to say? You denied that stone. You rejected that stone. But that stone was a life giver. That stone was a cornerstone. That stone was a foundation stone. Without Jesus, there is no life. Without Jesus, there is no other Savior. He says there is no other name given under heaven that we must save. So he is trying to say, what name you used? What power you used? Now he's saying, let me tell you, there is no other name. Only name of Jesus Christ. This man is healed. And we are using his name. And if you don't understand this name, if you don't believe in this name, you will not be saved. There is no other Savior. Jesus is the Savior.
Amen.
Can you see how much boldness he has? That's the same boldness you and me should have.
Amen.
Because there is no other religion has this life in them. Jesus is the only one Savior. There is no other Savior. There is no other way you can get saved.
That's right.
Jesus Christ came from heaven, died on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood for you. Why blood? Because there is a life in the blood. So he gave his life to you. Without Jesus, there is no life. Without the shedding of blood, there is no life and there is no forgiveness. Without the resurrection, there is no eternal life. So that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you, heal you, deliver you, set you free. And he says, if you don't believe, you will be destroyed. Like Jesus said, the stone will crush you one day and you will be powder. When is that? The time of judgment. So here the word of God is saying, we have a great opportunity. He says there is no other way you can get saved. So how can we get saved? The word of God says very plainly, how can you get saved? You go to and talk to somebody and say, I don't know how to get saved. What are you going to do? Go to the book of Romans chapter 10. Read first verses 9 to 13.
But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. So what we have to tell the people, if you want to get saved, call upon Jesus.
Amen.
Do you know what Jesus means? Jesus means the Savior. He's the only one has power to save mankind. Angel came and told Joseph, name that son what? Jesus. Angel came to Mary and said, name him Jesus. Jesus means Savior. There is no name under heaven given that we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ has power to save you, heal you, deliver you, and set you free. Without Jesus, we cannot do anything. So what we have? We have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not ordinary people.
Amen.
We are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
God has called us and gave us a high calling.
Amen.
We are the servants of God. We have authority. Speak the word, and God will do miracles.
Amen.
Let me tell you how God is doing miracles. He has given each and everyone power. When we start praying, the things start happening.
Amen.
If you listen there, one person called, I don't know when, they say, call, Pastor Peter, please pray that hurricane should not come to Texas, should go other way. And somebody said, why that person calling here? And I said, if God is not answering our prayer, nobody will call us to pray a prayer. You know that plane was coming down without a
landing
gear. And I saw that and I prayed. I said, Lord, let this plane land just like a regular landing. And no problem. And my wife and my son, we were watching. And I told them, look and see what prayer is going to answer. And plane landed without a problem.
Amen.
Many people might have prayed, but I prayed and I believe God heard my prayer. Then I said, now listen, now this hurricane is very powerful, everybody's panic. And I said, do you know the president said, please pray that God should take care of this. And I said, I'm praying. And our oil was not destroyed. And I got the words from Revelation chapter 6. And I said to my son, the word of God says, do not harm the oil. So I said, let's pray that do not harm the oil. And I prayed, and exactly happened. Not a single oil mill was destroyed. Amen. Do you believe God answers prayer?
Yes.
Yes. God says, if one man stands in the gap,
that's right,
God will hear.
Amen.
Everyone, you, me, everyone has the same authority.
That's right.
Same power.
That's right.
We have to use it in the name of Jesus. So wherever we live, God should bless us. In your neighborhood, you pray for your neighborhood. In your city, you pray for your city. We are living in America. If everywhere, if you remember last week I said, hurricane after hurricane will come. But what we do? We cannot say, no hurricane, no earthquake again. That prayer will not be answered.
That's right.
Because Jesus said there will be more hurricanes.
That's right.
There will be more earthquakes. There will
right.
be more problem will be coming.
Amen.
Now what are we praying? We are praying for the protection. And God protected our oil. God
Amen.
Protected the people. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. We trusted you, Lord Jesus. You are a miracle-working God. You have given us your name. You have given us your precious blood. You have given us the Holy Spirit. If Peter could stand there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without a fear, same Jesus is here.
Amen.
Yes.
Give us grace to each and every believer. And let them proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling others, there is none other Savior. Give us grace, Lord Jesus, to follow the truth and tell others the same. Protect us from all the dangers and harms. Use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.